Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs, Roger Sales will be joining me in a couple of moments. Roger's calling in from Argentina, and if we don't have any problems with the internet connection, he and I will be chewing the fat for most of the next 60 minutes. In the meantime, before we get started, here is a report on the markets. Gold is down $11.50 today to $1,415.80 an ounce. Silver's down 43 cents, 1.84%, to $23.08. Platinum is down 18 bucks to $1,420 per ounce. Palladium is down $8 to $678 per ounce. Dow Jones is up 148 points to 14,715 points. NASDAQ is up 35 points to 3,269. New York Stock Exchange is up 87 points to 9,107. The U.S. Dollar Index is up 0.39 to 83.03. And crude oil is up 9 cents to $89.28 per barrel. What do we make of it? Well, we've got an article. Let me see if I can find it. Bix Weir talking about the world. The silver world is in chaos, so just sit back and stay strong. All the commodity regulators are scratching their head as to upholding the economic laws of supply and demand. The commodities market is in serious turmoil. Their first silver investigations found that there was not silver manipulation on the COMEX paper market because the future and options prices were in line with official physical cash prices. That is no longer the case. And physical silver is scarce, yet the price keeps plummeting. In other words, the supply is small, and yet the price keeps falling. Mints can't keep up with production, and premiums have gone through the roof, meaning the demand is high, the supply is small, and yet the price keeps falling. This absolutely defies fundamental rules of economics, supply and demand. The price should be going up, and instead it's going up. Instead it's going down. The government set the guidelines for controlling what constitutes manipulation in the first two silver investigations, and now the evidence is clear. The futures and option markets are setting the price of physical silver, and this is 100% contrary to commodity law. What we're getting to is the government and or the Federal Reserve and or the powers that be are breaking the law and defrauding the American people by causing the prices of metals to decline in violation of fundamental principles of supply and demand. We are being hustled, we're being conned by our government, the Federal Reserve, and or the powers that be. So, Roger, are you there?
I'm right here, Al, man. What an exciting time. It appears to me that the old proverbial Chinese curse has attached itself extremely firmly to our posterior.
I understand that. We definitely live in interesting times. What do you see? Well, there's not much doubt. I mean, it's really pretty obvious that government, Federal Reserve, powers that be are engaged in criminal acts to suppress the price of metals. Do you see anything like that down in Argentina?
Are you kidding me, man?
Go ahead and swing at it all you want.
That wasn't a softball. You rolled that one down there to me. You know, the first thing that comes to mind to me is the thing that I saw in a Bill Bonner article a while back, and when I saw it, it shocked me. And I've kind of seen it confirmed in some other articles since. And what he said was, since the origination of the peso back in the 40s in Argentina, it has been devalued 23 trillion percent. So do I see any of that down here?
Of course.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, understand.
It's incredible, man, because this is such a wonderful country, and these are such wonderful people. I love their culture, okay? And I love the people. I mean, I just adore living here. And to see what not only the Argentine government, but with the help and able assist of these satanic international Zionist thieves, robbers, murderers, and hooligans, what they have done to this country is an absolute crying shame. Now, all that said, remember one thing. Argentina prospered during the 30s because it's totally agriculturally based. And my thoughts when I decided to move down here, in my pre-planning and in my thinking that I did to come to a conclusion on it, so whether to do this or not, was the fact that I believe this country, even with their screwed up government, will bounce back quicker than many countries in the world. That's honestly my opinion. Okay.
Well, the Argentinian people have been through this before. It's the description you've made of how much inflation they've already suffered. It's not going to disturb them exactly. They're certainly not going to panic. I won't say they won't be disturbed, but they're not going to panic.
They're not even hardly concerned, Al. I mean, because I on purpose ask people, you know, at the grocery store and stuff, and I can speak a little Spanish now, so I can kind of halfway converse with them and stuff. And I keep making comments about it, and they just look at me and shrug their shoulders and go, "Hey, it's Argentina." I mean, it's the ambivalence on their attitude and how they take this in stride amazes me, honestly. And I know that they've been through it many times. I know those systems are in place, and I got not one single iota of a concern about what's coming with me here.
So we've got a mentality in Argentina that's somewhat similar to that which existed in Zimbabwe, where they were in the midst of hyperinflation, and they just went about their business. They were being robbed on a daily basis, but they went out and exchanged their cash. As soon as they got any, they exchanged it because it would be worth less in a couple of hours, significantly less than it was when they received it. So it didn't serve the nation well, but the nation did not panic at the same time.
Well, you know, you got some interesting things going on here right now. I don't know with everything else going on if you've even seen anything about it. But last week, I mean, it made zero hedge. There was a big demonstration, I think, last Thursday night with 4 million people. You know, that big street when you see a picture of Argentina or Buenos Aires, that big 23-lane street, it's the biggest street in the world with the obelisk right in the middle of it. Well, that's called Avenue 9 de Julio, the 9th of June. the 9th of July, excuse me. That's their one of their Independence Days. They've got two. The other's in May. Well, the other night there was 4 million people down there on that 23-lane street against Christina because she's trying to stack the Supreme Court here.
They're not complaining about the inflation or the economy. They're just complaining about her trying to stack the Supreme Court.
Well, you know what's interesting? Remember when I was up in Cafayette last November and I met that attorney that is Casey and Bonner's attorney? His name's Lewis Kinney, and he's a real sharp cookie, man, as sharp as an attorney as I've ever met, all right? His father was the president of the Argentine bar when Juan Perón was president, and Lewis told me that his father was responsible for starting and organizing and pushing the revolution that overthrew Juan Perón here. His dad sent him to Oxford, and he was totally educated at Oxford, speaks perfect English, and he's Casey and Bonner's attorney. Now, let me tell you the kind of chutzpah this guy's got, or at least his pedigree and his background. We had a chance to spend a little time together as I explained my book and everything to him, you know, and he was telling me what he had done. He's the guy that took when cell towers first came out, and Bell South went around all over the world, evidently, was one of the premier companies there in Atlanta, because he told me he'd gone to Atlanta once a month for 3 years. That's really how we kind of bonded, you know. And so I was asking him, he was telling me about it. The Southern Bell came down here and spent $12 million setting up the initial phone system in Argentina, and they sold it to the state-owned telephone company called Movistar. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what they sold it for? Now, he told me these figures, and I'm telling you straight from his lips. All right.
All right.
They put $12 million in it to build it and sold it.
Did you
it
say for $12 million or $12
billion? Million and sold okay, it for million. A billion. And sold it for a billion. That is some percentage on return, brother, right
that
there.
That is a pretty good return, that's for sure.
Okay. So, anyway, I'm sure he told me that he is responsible for a lot of those demonstrations in BA. And I guarantee you that this revolved around the court issue. I guarantee you he set that one up last Thursday, okay?
How dangerous, really? All right, how dangerous is a stacked court to the people of Argentina?
Well, I don't really
are they,
know.
Are they appointed for life? Are the judges appointed for life?
I do not know enough of the details to be able to even form an opinion. But if you wanted to draw some sort of a parallel, I'd say, how dangerous was it when FDR stacked the court?
Well, I understand. It's always dangerous. That's what it comes down to. And
because all they're doing is diluting it so they can. They're diluting down the voting members so they can stick their stooges on there and always get the majority. I mean, it's exactly what they're doing.
It's what they're trying to do. But there have been instances where they'd appoint one guy, and the Republicans, I think, they appointed one, I can't think of his name. He became pretty much of a liberal after he got on the bench. I can't think of his name. But
Was it Breyer?
It may have been. I don't recall.
Okay. Well, you know, what's really driving this issue and what she's trying to do is get the court stacked so she can kick out her media opposition, this company called Clarín that has 40-some% of the media in the country. She's already shut down their newsprint where they can't get enough newsprint to put very many papers out. She's going to try to take all of their media outlets and shut them down because they're the opposition.
It does not appear that the people in Argentina have any more respect for their constitution than the people do in our Congress and our White House or our federal courts.
It's an interesting constitution. It's a little more liberal than ours. They've got some very interesting clauses. I can't sit here and quote them chapter and verse, but I heard a lecture on them when I first got down here, and I was really surprised. What I would say is this. You know, I've been fortunate enough to meet and become friends with a guy that's got some international renown right now named Adrian Salbucci. Many of the listeners have heard Adrian on different programs. He's all over the place. And very well respected. He's one intelligent dude, man, and he's got all his stuff is in a tight little pile, okay? And when Adrian and I first met, this is what he told me. Now, he was born in Argentina but moved to Queens and was raised in New York, all right? So he speaks perfect English, yet he's totally Argentinian and at home here and lives in BA. And he said, Roger, here's the difference between the two countries. He said, in Argentina, the people know the government's a bunch of crooks and thieves. In the U.S., the people up there think mostly that the government's good, and they don't know they're crooks and thieves.
Yeah. I would agree that's a pretty accurate assessment. But do you think that's changing?
Yes. Yes, and we got a lot to talk about today, man. And I would say just a couple of examples to give you a real interesting, provocative thing. Butch Napolitano up there, you may or may not have seen this yesterday, came out and accused 10% of the population of being domestic terrorists. Did you see that story?
No, I haven't seen that one. 10%. Okay. Is that all?
10%. Well, listen, that's double the amount that won the revolution, man. And this thing's going exponential because they're losing it on every absolute vector. Now, we've talked about this for weeks, all right? But I was thinking about it earlier, and I even jotted down some notes because I thought it was pretty important. First of all, you know, do you see them doing the same stupid thing? Do you see them taking all the old ways they've always done stuff, not adapting to the new technology and the environment that it's set up, and screwing up left and right? How about this the other day? Al, don't look at those other pictures. Only look at these pictures here.
Yeah, I understand.
If you do that to a child, what's the first thing that a child's going to do?
Yeah, I understand. The whole thing is nuts. And
I mean,
it's so poorly done that it's evidence of idiocy or desperation, one, the other, or both.
Oh, I think it's both, okay? And that's what it was, a good segue to what I wrote out here. And I think we've touched on it before, but it really bears, revisiting right now with everything that's happening and swirling around all of our lives. They're losing it, and I can give you three separate examples. And the first is Sandy Hook and the guns from late last year and over carried into January. That's been, of course, exacerbated by Boston. Look at the gun shows. I mean, even last weekend there was – I saw an article yesterday that said gun shows all over the United States are swamped. And it went down about 12 states and gave specific examples and interviewed the people that were putting on the show. And they're going, I've been here 50 years. I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
Okay? So you got that going on. I don't have to tell anybody out there about the non-availability of ammunition or guns or anything else to do with them at any kind of nominal, reasonable pricing that we've seen for many years, most of our lives. All right. The other thing is, of course, the gold and the silver market, which is what we've been talking about with the program. I mean, obviously, what they've always done in the past was drive these things down. All the little sheeple would go sell all of their stuff back in. And they'd be walk away fat and happy again, but it ain't happening this time.
I know.
Okay. And what
there
you
are reports? There were reports from on April 12th, April 15th, from dealers, gold bullion dealers, that they had 50 buyers for every seller, which was evidence that they didn't really shake confidence in gold by driving the price down. People recognized it as a great buying opportunity, and they were jumping in with both feet. It's part of the reason why now if you try to order at least silver, you're going to wait 4 to 6 weeks before you receive it. The supply is drying up, in part. They won't sell it for cheap prices, and in part because so much has been sold, there's not that much left in reserve.
What it tells me is if you got Butch Napolitano out there putting out 10% and you're seeing what you're seeing, especially in this gold market here, buddy, it's bigger than 10%. And when you got the internet and people waking up with them screwing up left over, damn right, they're tripping all over their own feet, for God's sake.
I understand that.
And getting those huge numbers that are going to start getting exponential because now people are ready to listen that have not been ready to listen before. You know, did you ever do any MLMs, Al?
A little bit, but I never got into it to speak of. But I'll tell you what, Roger, it's time for us to take our break, and we will continue along this line when we return in about 3 minutes. I'm Alfred Addis here with Roger Sales on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Roger Sales on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Give Melody Cederstrom a call. She should be there now. 1-800-375-4188. Roger and I are talking about the number of people who, the growing number of people who are dissatisfied with government, and begin to recognize that government is more of a criminal enterprise than a collection of public servants. And the number appears to be growing. We were talking about this in the first segment of the program, and Roger was going to amplify on this idea with some comments on multi-level marketing.
Well, Al, and that's why I ask you. I mean, you know, a number of people that are listening have done MLMs and will recognize this from presentations they've been to, but maybe there's some people that don't. I think it's very applicable here, and that is this. What a hockey stick curve is? You know,
yes.
When you see something go along and then it zips right back up in a 90-degree angle, that's called a hockey stick curve. Mm-hmm. And that little dip, when it goes straight up, is a point called critical mass. Now, critical mass used in that context is a term that's borrowed from the nuclear industry. And the term originally was how a nuclear bomb, it goes in, actually evidently kind of compresses a little bit before it explodes. Okay.
Yep.
And that little compression before the explosion is called critical mass as it explodes. And that's what's happening right now with this, with to these people, with our people, I think.
Now, we have to presume that if you're right, the government is well aware.
Oh, sure they are.
All right. Now, what are they going to do about this?
Well, that's
what we've seen. What we've seen with a plunge, with a gold plunge a couple of 10 days ago thereabouts. We've seen the price of gold plunge. It's recovered maybe 30% of the price. What are they going to do if they're sitting? Part of the point behind that plunge, I thought it was stupid and ill-advised and evidence of desperation,
yep.
Meaning that perhaps they already anticipate that this 20% is going to hit that critical mass in the foreseeable future, and they used, I'm only guessing, the plunge in the price of gold and silver as a way of somehow diffusing, minimizing that critical mass or postponing it. Whatever made them desperate, assuming anything did, assuming they're desperate, I think they are. If something made them desperate, that's still there. That cause for desperation is still present. I don't believe it's been resolved by the fall in the price of gold and silver.
It's been exacerbated.
I'd say that's true.
Okay. Remember one thing. Well, you know, we talk about our enemies, and I was thinking about this afternoon, laying down a little bit before the show. The people that are not hep to this concept right here is your enemies totally follow Sun Tzu, The Art of War. Okay? You can look back over history, and you can look at every famous conqueror in the history of the world. They lived in different times. They lived in different parts of the world, yet they all had one thing in common. They all read Sun Tzu, okay? And the people that we're fighting right now are no different. It is no coincidence that the Israeli Mossad's motto is, by way of deception, we shall make war. That is absolutely classic Sun Tzu. And if you don't understand the game your enemy's playing, just like with this legal stuff that we talk about here that's in my book and the things that Al talks about, if you don't understand them, you don't understand your enemy. And if you don't understand your enemy, you are greatly crippled at winning any battle. Okay.
Yeah, and if you don't understand the enemy and the strategy that he's employing.
And his tactics, absolutely. So when you got these guys in a historical magnifying glass and you look back a little bit, what you see is that they always repeat over and over and over again.
Oh, yeah. Okay? And why do they do that?
Because it's always worked in the past. There's so
much
at stake.
And why does it repeatedly work?
Well, because certainly more in the past is they had total control over all the information, and that's the big leveler that the Internet has done for us. All right?
I get that, but even then there's a question. The information is out there, but there is reason to wonder whether people prefer their ignorance, the blissful state of ignorance, or do they really want to get involved? In any case, I think we touched on this last Tuesday. I was asking, if there was anything new under the sun, what would it be? And the answer to my mind would be people who actually learned from history.
Yeah, that'd be smart. Well,
if we ever get to a point where people are going to say, my God, the public is learning from history. What are we going to do?
Some of us are there, man. Some of us are there, and we got the Internet, and we can go out there. Well, you know, we like to go back and put this in couch it in biblical perspectives, Al, both you and I do, because that's the end trail where both of us found ourselves. I think it's in Ecclesiastes, I'm not sure, but it says, for they did not have a love of the truth, I will send them strong delusion so that they will believe a lie.
Yep.
Because they had not a love for the truth.
I agree, and that would apply to a lot of people.
And you see, that's the difference in us, Al, is we're driven by, we're truth seekers. We're absolute truth seekers. I want the truth, and I don't care what the consequences are, all right? I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. Try to find it. And it's not, I feel the same way, which is not to say that I've ever found any truth. but I've been looking hard. You understand? I have been seeking the truth. I may have made a bunch of mistakes, maybe more mistakes. Maybe I found more mistakes than I found truth. I'm not sure. It's hard to say, but there's no question in my mind that I have been actively pursuing it for now 30 years anyway. And
Al, you learn much more from your mistakes than you do from your victories many times, my friend.
Well, I agree. I agree. Your mistakes. But the great sign of intelligence, I think, is not merely to learn from your mistakes, but to learn from other people's mistakes.
There's
the mark of genius.
Let me tell you what, other guys' mistakes.
Now you're in good shape. Yeah.
Let me tell you what. That's the mark of maturity. Okay. Mm-hmm. I've always considered, as we both get older, you and I are getting a little long in the tooth, old man.
It's like I did when I was 18. For guys.
You know what I've come to the conclusion of is that wisdom is the real key thing here. Wisdom is the only thing that's worth sacrificing your youth for. Okay? So if you can take a young man, Frank, I talked to Frank briefly before we went on the air. Frank sounds like a pretty young guy. 30s maybe? 20s? Okay?
No, I don't think so. I think Frank is even older than I am. I'm not sure.
Okay. All right. Well, he's ancient. He's too old to learn. But if you can take some of those people and those kids that you love that are sharp in their 20s and 30s, and you can get them to sit down and listen to what you can teach them when you're 50 or 60, they short circuit 10 to 20 years of trial and error wisdom gain.
I agree. You know, one of the things that was surprising and amazing to me, I used to publish a magazine called The Anti-Shyster, as you know. Published it for 12 years, and it dealt with, we were critical of the government, the political system, and so on. We explored things like the income tax and whether you were truly liable to pay income tax or not. And what very much surprised me, we were doing these articles, we thought this was news, and then someone started sending me a bundle of tabloids that had been published, I think, in the 1960s. I was publishing the magazine in the 1990s. There were a bunch of tabloids, and these were large, you know, publications, and they were extremely competent that were exploring whether or not we had to pay income tax or not. And they were writing the very same articles that we were producing in the 1990s. They had published in the 1960s or 70s. They had explored the same ideas and come to the same conclusions, and then they kind of disappeared. And the point behind it is that knowledge kind of runs in waves. It's kind of like a sine wave, and we remember things at the peak of the sine, and then we forget, go down into the trough, and we come up to another peak, and we remember them again. It's kind of interesting that knowledge doesn't just build step by step as if we're in a pyramid. It goes up, but it goes down again, and then it goes up again. And then you follow what I'm saying?
Well, of course I do, because that's the classic sign. If you ever look at, you know, I was a teacher for 10 years, and the classic chart of learning anything is plateaus. You never go straight up. You go up, and then you reach a plateau, and you stay there for a little while, and that's when you feel like you're real frustrated, you know, and you just want to quit or do whatever, and you get mad, and then all of a sudden, zip, there you go on another upturn, see? But it's always plateaus.
Well, In this instance, it was they had a plateau, but then there was another decline, and we lost that knowledge for 20 years.
Well,
and then we rediscovered it, and it was just interesting. And I mean, as a nation, in a sense, I don't mean as individuals.
Yes, but keep one thing in perspective. A lot of that losing has been intentional.
Well, I understand that. I get that, and it's not only intentional. I think it's also a function of. Well, you could still say it's intentional, but I think there are leaders who drive the pursuit of knowledge. I think a relative handful of people make a significant difference, and then there's a wave of people behind them. Maybe it's a big wave, maybe a small wave, but there is an audience for the information. But when those leaders remove from the situation, maybe they pass on, whatever, you lose the audience. The audience just kind of dissipates. We're talking a little bit about knowledge here. Let me ask you a question. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. God is speaking to, I don't remember who, but my people perish for lack of knowledge. What do you suppose that knowledge is?
Isn't that a Hosea quote?
Don't recall.
I should know my Bible as well, better than those darn statutes, but I don't. But are people die for lack of knowledge? What was your question again? I'm sorry.
My question is, and I have an answer. I'm curious if you do, of what do you think the knowledge is without which you tend to perish?
Oh, man, how about the knowledge of good and evil?
Well, that'd be close. But I'll tell you what rings my bell. There are multiple verses in the Bible where God is talking to one of his prophets or to whoever, and he is warning that he is going to just put the wood to the Assyrians, for example, because they have offended him one way or the other, or the Canaanites or something. And he will repeatedly say, I'm going to put them under a great deal of stress. And then they will know, so that they will know that I am God.
Know the Lord. So they'll know the Lord, something. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the fundamental knowledge. He says it repeatedly in the Bible. He says, so they will know that I am God. God moves in a number of different circumstances, and he says he's doing it so they will know that I am God. I think that is the knowledge without which my people perish.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It seems reasonable to me.
And I wanted to go ahead and finish, because there's something I think is important to the audience I wanted to touch on. So go ahead and finish your thought.
Well, I was just going to say it parallels our own life experience. I didn't find out. I can't say that I knew that, that I didn't come to know that he was God in my youth. I have come to understand that in my 40s and more so in my 50s and now in my 60s. But it does seem to be the end of the knowledge. It does seem to be the end of the knowledge I've accumulated. And at times, everything else seems kind of trivial. You know, when you really get wrapped into it, you know that he is God, and you get hold of that.
It's a calm. I tell you, for those of you who are new and are still new enough to where you're going through the ups and the downs of this, and you know, I can remember in the early days, and sometimes I'd get real encouraged, like your sine wave example, and be real high, and then a day later something would happen, I'd get an IRS letter or something, I'd be down in that trough, you know, and you go through that roller coaster. And if there's one thing I found, when I finally grasped on to the spiritual idea and saw it and incorporated it, it smoothed everything out for me. There weren't as radical highs.
Yeah, I understand.
You still have them, okay, of course, but they're just not as radical as they used to be before, and they don't whiplash your emotions, you know, like that.
And one other thing, it's not just that you don't get the big highs and the big lows, the great anger and the Great Depression, when you have to face these problems that you see imposed upon you by the government. You don't, it's not true that you don't get the highs, you don't get the lows. It's not just that. It's also that you don't get as excited about the whole thing. You don't get as hyper. It's irrelevant to me. Someone sent me an email just today, and they asked me how I was dealing with the prices of gold and silver being down. I told her, I said, look, it doesn't matter to me on one level if the price of gold is $2,000 an ounce or $1,000 an ounce. I really do trust in the Lord. All right? And if he wants to put me in a cardboard box behind an abandoned warehouse, and that'll be my home, I'd work with that. Oh my, good Lord wants to put me there. I'm ready to go. And it gives you a sense of calm. You don't get the same sense of rage, fear, whatever. And you're not afraid to look at the truth. You know, a lot of times you don't want to look at the truth because, in fact, the woman who wrote to me, she said she hadn't looked at the price of gold in over a week because it was just too scary for her. You get to that point where you really do get close to the good Lord. You know, I'm not saying that my faith is anything like perfect, but I'm a lot better than it ever was before. You get close to it, it gives you a kind of confidence where you are prepared to look and see the truth. Not deny it, not ignore it, see it.
Well, you know, what's interesting, Al, is certainly, and I totally concur with you on that, and the other thing is knowing and understanding your basics and your fundamentals, because anybody that really understands and studies the fundamentals of this and puts a little time into it, you're not going to understand it overnight. You're going to have to spend a little time studying it, okay? Lord knows you're going to have to study. Anybody that understands that, I'm almost gleeful for them to shove it down because I know what's happening. When they shoved it down the other day, I said, holy smokes, man, we're going to find out. This is an acid test right here. Okay? And look what has happened. And it's exactly what I thought would happen.
Well, what's going to happen next?
Speaking of gold and silver, what do you think is going to happen next? I think that's
a great segue. I'll tell you what's going to happen next. We're going to make some commercial announcements. That's what's going to happen next. I knew something bad was on the horizon. I could just feel it in my bones.
Ooh.
And here it is, commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Roger Sales on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis with Roger Sales on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Give Melody Cedarson a call now, 1-800-375-4188. We're talking about, I was asking Roger for what he thought was coming. Al, let me give you a little bit of a comment on that before you get to the answer. Over the last couple of years, I've been following news and the email and the mainstream headlines and so on with more intensity and more focus just because I'm doing radio programs like this one. You have to try to inform yourself about whatever's going on in current events, and I only have a fraction of the knowledge maybe I should have, but nevertheless, in the last couple of years, focusing on this knowledge, looking for this knowledge, you come to find I've come to have a subjective sense of the velocity of news. In other words, how many stories are we getting today? How many stories are we getting this week? You get a feeling for it, and you come to understand, okay, it's cruising along about this level. For the past 2, maybe 3 months, take it back into January, I think, I've begun to sense on a subjective level that the velocity of news is accelerating. We're getting more news. More things seem to be happening and popping, important things. And from that, I have come to the feeling that we are within a couple of months of something dramatic happening in this country, and I don't believe the fall in the price of gold was it. I'm wondering whether you see a similar sense of acceleration in the velocity of news, a subjective idea. Do you see that, or is it just my imagination?
You can't even keep up with it.
No, I know. I know.
You can't keep up with the metals market, the political, all the false flags, Korea, China, Iran, Syria, Libya. I mean, come on, man. Cyprus. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And, you know, I can remember reading long ago. I got a pretty good memory, you know, imprinted. And you know, some of the early stuff that I read.
At your age, you should have a large memory.
And you know, I shouldn't have any at all with all the pot I've smoked over the years. I like that stuff, all right? Makes me think. The thing is, and now you made me lose my thought, what I think is coming is this. They're backed into a corner here, all right? They're backed into a corner big time. And any time you get a bear backed into a corner, it's dangerous. If you get a wounded bear back into a corner, it's more dangerous. If you get a wounded mama bear with two cubs backed into a corner, you got something coming at you, buddy. And that's what we got right now, in my opinion. Okay.
Well, I don't think I don't go along with the wounded mama bear with two cubs. I regard this government more like a wounded male bear with a couple of topless dancers.
Okay. I was trying to get across
the analogy. This is what I think we have cornered. I don't know whether that's going to make the bear fight more or less, but
trying to impute the ferocity for the protection of her cub. Ow, into her defense here.
I understand. I understood the metaphor there, but I have my metaphors a little different than yours, that's all. But
how much time do we have? Who knows, man?
How many months, or are we waiting a couple more years, or what's happening?
This is what I answer people when they talk to me about moving down here. I said, hey, I moved down here 5 years ago. I didn't think we had any time back then.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So what I wanted to say, and I can just about guarantee you don't have any time for this, though. Okay. So I want you people to listen up. You can pop right over to kingworldnews.com and check out a couple of these stories. And the ones that I would point you to specifically, and I copied Al on this earlier today, is there's two from Andrew McGuire over there and one from Jim Sinclair. Several from Sinclair, actually. They've been very prolific here during this heightened attention. But McGuire, who's the guy that originally did the CFTC whistleblowing that got us snuck into the CFC as a secret witness and plopped him in front of the commission, where he showed them exactly how they were knocking the price of silver down, for those of you that don't remember. And then the next day, a car came out of the side of the London street and T-boned his car and almost killed him and his wife. Surely just accidental. Somebody running a stop sign over there in Jolly Old, huh? Well, he says that the knockdown on the prices was the default of the London Bullion Market Exchange, LBMA, all right? Now, that's him saying it, not me. You can go read the articles. Now, the one I read just before showtime is a new Jim Sinclair article. Jim Sinclair is about the most savvy sucker out there on the street today in this stuff we're talking about right here, all right? And he said that a friend of his could not get his allocated gold out of the Bank of Switzerland. They've got another friend of his that could not get allocated gold out of another bank. That's gold.
Out of the London...
No. That was McGuire that was talking about LBMA. Sinclair specifically mentioned the Bank of Switzerland.
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay.
But I thought... So, I only saw two references. Are you saying he referenced... Three?
He referenced another, the Bank of Switzerland and another one, ARSO, A-R-S-O or something, and I don't remember it and didn't follow it, but both of them are in that article, and he's made reference. Now, the other thing that I thought was really got my attention, it raised my eyebrows when I saw it, was an article just in the last 2 days from Hugo Salinas Price. Do you know who he is, Al?
Lives in Mexico,
very successful businessman down there. I'm trying to think of the Carlos Slim is the other one. In fact, he owns the company I've got my internet with down here in Argentina, Claro. But this guy, Hugo Salinas Price, is a pretty sharp cookie and very wealthy and very successful. He's also a dyed-in-the-absolute-wool Austrian economics advocate and promoter. And what he said in his article the other night is he said, if this goes down and they do not switch over to a metal-based real currency, this could last for 500 years. That's not Roger. That's not Roger throwing it out there. Like I said, it raised my eyebrows, buddy, when I saw it. Okay?
I can tell you that if it lasts more than 50 years, it's no concern of mine. I don't expect to make it for 500. In fact, I don't expect to make it for more than another 50. So anything over 50 years doesn't concern me all that much. That's a narrow-minded and self-centered perspective, but I can't help with this. This is the way I'm built. I don't anticipate anything lasting per se for 500 years other than the war.
Well,
the spiritual war that's been ongoing for a couple of thousand years, I don't expect that to end.
You know, what I think he was referring to was the Dark Ages, you know, in the before the Renaissance type stuff.
It's entirely possible. I mean, civilization is a very fragile thing. You know, we rely on so many bits of technology that we don't understand. For example, how many people know how to even make a transistor?
You can't keep up with all that. That's why you got to have specialization. The amount of knowledge, the entire human nature, what the whole planet knows, it's doubling every year, year and a half or less now. You can't keep up with that kind of information doubling.
I follow, but that creates liability because what we've got, we have a handful of people in this world who truly understand how to make transistors. Now, what if we have some sort of an economic problem and we wipe out that one little segment of people who know how to make transistors?
Well,
or the one little segment that knows how to make LEDs, or the one little segment that knows how to can tomatoes. The whole thing can tend to collapse because we lose just one link in the increasingly complex chain of civilization. One little link falls out, and all of a sudden we're back to, you know, making arrowheads out of flint.
I'll bet you most of those transistor makers eat with chopsticks. What you want to bet?
Well, maybe. But what happens if they run out of food or chopsticks? Then what?
They may do that over there. China ain't no bowl of cherries these days either, man. I mean, this whole thing's rocky, buddy. There ain't one quadrant of this whole shooting match that isn't on real, real rough road right now. So that's what I wanted to get across to the audience, is with Cyprus, it obviously has been cleared all over the world that the Cyprus model is going to be the way that they're going to go in and deal with this. Now, what really struck me about that, Al, was this. You know, I'm a voracious reader, right? Well, I'm looking at an article last week written by a gal named Ellen Brown. I know you're familiar with her. She's a sharp cookie, okay? And the name of the article is The Tower of Babel, Secretive Plans for the Issuing of a Global Currency. And how she talks in there, or at least the part that I've been able to sit down and read, is about the derivatives and the way they've got the derivatives stacked. And what they do is, and this is very poignant from yesterday, okay, is they got the derivatives set up to where when the derivatives trip, the derivatives counterparty get all the money in the banks, and you're going to have to shape up your bank money to the derivative settlement, and they're going to give you shares of a defunct bank.
Such a deal.
How sweet. Now, hold on. You're asking timing. I'm going to tell you timing. I heard it just this afternoon, I believe, or yesterday afternoon, and I think it was yesterday on Rivera, all right? Whoever's in charge of one of the federal persons with all the banks and stuff, they made a little announcement yesterday in all the hubbub. And guess what the announcement was, Al? Under no circumstances will there be any more government bailouts of banks of any size.
Uh-huh.
They're setting it up. It's set up. The derivatives are set. The money, if you've still got money or you got family that's got money in these banks, if you're not expeditiously trying to get everything you can get out of there, you're going to absolutely, totally live to regret it. Maybe.
Yeah, we don't know that for a fact, and we don't want to start some kind of a panic, but on the other hand, you know, there's a difference between sowing fear and sowing reasonable warning. There's evidence to suggest this might be it might be prudent.
Well, you know, when you see a rattlesnake from Texas, you're from Texas, you're out there walking out there in Texas, and you see a rattlesnake coiled and his tail striking and his mouth's open and his head's up, you better get out of the way, buddy.
I understand. And the same thing is true with your gold. We had the three stories from Jim Sinclair that in three different instances, people, and at least one of these people, one was an investor in the London bullion market. The other one was, he had trying to get his gold, they said he had a significant amount, which implies to me we're talking, you know, hundreds of pounds, I just guess. I don't know if that's true or false. But he's trying to get it out of the Swiss bank, and the Swiss bank says, no, we can't give it to you. And they said this was because of new government edicts on controlling terrorism and watching out for money laundering. So they couldn't give the man his own gold. Now, point, implication, not evidence. It's not proof. It's just a little bit of evidence. But it suggests that if you are storing your gold with any entity other than yourself, you may not be able to get it back. You may think you've got your gold safely squirreled away in somebody's vault someplace. Maybe you do and maybe you don't. Let's see if you can get it back. I'm simply suggesting that it would not be unwise. You have gold, wouldn't be unwise to keep at least part of it buried in the backyard, hidden under the bed someplace, up in the ceiling. I don't care where you want to put it, but someplace. Not necessarily all of it, but some of it. Does that make any sense, Roger? Are you squirreling away any gold close at hand?
I wouldn't have a piece of gold in any financial institution if you held a gun to my head.
Mm-hmm. I think it's headed in that direction. We've got a little over, what have we got? Oh, a minute and a half, thereabouts. Why don't you give them a pitch on the book?
Yeah, I want to say something first, though. They're trying to pull off the old Book of Esther, you know, like they like to do. So if you want to get around...
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that?
Well, Purim and the Zionists, Purim, and that's their big holiday of the year, like Halloween, and we don't have the time to go into it. You can go back and look it up. Purim, Book of Esther, is where it's found. But you can also go and get in those people's face, and you can say one word and turn them white as a sheet, Al, and that's the Book of Obadiah. Have you ever read Obadiah?
Oh, I'm sure I've gone through it, but I don't remember.
No, it's the shortest book in the Bible. It's a page and a half. I urge every one of you today, as soon as this is over, you go get your Bible, and you look in the Old Testament, and you read Obadiah, because that's what's coming to these people.
Well, Roger, I'll take another look at it myself here when we close down. We're down to about 40 seconds, if you want to make a quick pitch on the...
Website information, I'll say it and spell it, www.serfs-up.com, serfs-up.com, taxbook, no, 1040tax.com, and you can get both of them off the websites or go to thebookshelf.us. And, hey, hasta luego, man. It's been a good show today.
Enjoyed having you here again, Roger. Thanks very much. Look forward to talking to you again next Tuesday. I want to thank all you folks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Melody. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Roger, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Hasta luego. Ciao, ciao.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.